Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. And this time we're moving right on our roster of fun friends from Purdue University. Welcome on the line, Amanda. How are you?
Hi. How
are you? I'm terrific. See, now you have the advantage of two of your friends before you, so you got this locked, right?
Yeah, I know. I'm kind of nervous. My hands are getting a little clammy, but...
Very good. You're a natural here. I'd like to introduce Amanda Lukowski. She's a junior in hospitality and tourism management and is incredibly involved in campus, if you haven't caught that theme, with all of these old masters, young people, from working with disadvantaged youth to being vice president of new member education for her sorority, Zeta Tau Alpha. Amanda has a natural zest for life and a passion for people, with an optimism and enthusiasm where every day is a chance to live life to the fullest and make a positive change on the world. So you folks can understand why she's a natural to be on my show. Her mantra is that too many people are just living, not enough are alive. Amanda has enjoyed several internships as part of her career through Purdue, and she's got some exciting thoughts to share with us about what she's going to do this summer. I'd like to start first, though, Amanda. So now you're on that other side of that midway point. You're a second semester junior, and I'd like to know, are you in that tug of war between what do I do with my rest of my life pressure, and or, you know, gee, how do I still make the most of the present and take full advantage of my remaining time at Purdue?
I mean, it's definitely a constant, not really struggle, but definitely a constant journey. I would say that as of right now, I'm surprisingly relaxed about thinking about the rest of my life, to be honest.
Good.
Surprisingly, because, I mean, a lot of my friends are seniors, they're graduating, they're getting jobs, they're being accepted to Teach for America, they're doing amazing things, and really needing to get their affairs in order pretty quick, because graduation, no offense, Steve, is going to come pretty soon. But even after being with them and understanding their pressure and knowing that that's going to be me in just a short year, and literally I say short because I know it's going to fly by, which is a really scary thought. But I'm just taking it day by day right now. I'm really not nervous. I'm not scared. I'm really relaxed, to be honest, recently. Don't know what I'm going to do, to be honest. But I have ideas, and we'll just see how it goes. I'm just really excited more than anything. So.
Well, that's great. And I think, too, you're one, as if there's that common theme we've been talking about on this show, is you're putting building blocks together. You're trying things out. I mean, I think you're, as you and I talked about when we met, you're such a natural for the tourism side of the business. In fact, you've had a couple internships. Why don't you share what those were all about?
Absolutely. I had an internship out in California the summer after my freshman year, and it was at a resort in Rancho Palos Verdes, right on the coast. It was called Terranea, and it was my first time really working in a hotel resort aspect, and it was amazing. I worked actually as an administrative assistant for the director of engineering, which in itself is kind of different because engineering is a very interesting side of the hospitality industry.
You bet, yeah.
A little stressful, things are always broken, things are always happening, but I did have personal contact with guests, so that was amazing. It was just a great start, and actually, if I'm being completely honest, I might, that's where I'd like, hopefully, to maybe start out once I graduate. I'm not really sure what I want to do, but that was just an amazing experience, and I learned so much, and the people there are just incredible, and I mean, it's the hospitality industry, and everyone that works in the hospitality industry just has a passion for people. And
absolutely, your natural fit. But, you know, you think about it, though, some college students, for whatever reason, don't get the opportunity or don't choose to take advantage of internships in their field. And sometime by the time they get to be a junior or senior, they suddenly say, whoops, do I really know what I'm getting myself into? And so the fact you got an internship after your freshman year, I want the audience to hear this, sometimes there's this feeling that, well, you can't possibly because you have to be a junior or senior or you don't have any prior working experience. But I wouldn't let that get in the way of trying to find one, right?
Oh, not at all. Just go after every opportunity. Meet people. That's the biggest thing. Network. Just talk to people. Don't be afraid. I am a hostess each year for the hospitality career fair, and that gives you a great opportunity to meet a recruiter regardless mm-hmm. of what field it is that you're dealing with. Because sometimes I'll be placed with, like, a recruiter for a restaurant, and maybe restaurants aren't really of my particular interest of area, but you just meet a recruiter, and then as a freshman, don't be afraid to go to their career fairs and go up to them and talk to them. Granted, you're right, some of them might be looking for graduating seniors, and they'll literally tell you that, but it's totally worth a shot, and brings me into my next opportunity as a sophomore. Our career fair is held in September, and I didn't apply online for anything. I just had my resume with me. I didn't expect anything. I kind of knew that I was going to have another internship set up for after sophomore year, so I was mainly just wanted to make contacts, and I actually talked to a recruiter for Starwood Hotels and Resorts, and they're nationally known, and I just talked to her. She was from the West End in downtown Chicago, and she said, oh, do you have an interview set up with us already? And I said, no, you know, I didn't apply online or anything, and she asked for my resume. I handed it to her. She said, looked at her sheet, said, I have an open spot, and so I ended up interviewing that same day, or the next day, actually.
Otherwise, you have to run home, put the suit on, run back.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I had the suit on already.
Ah, there you go.
Dressed, prepared
right.
My dress, but... And then I ended up getting another, it was kind of a 2-week internship for that winter break. So just go after everything is my biggest thing. Don't be afraid. You never hurt until you try.
Now, some students might say, you were just an administrative assistant. Well, that's not, I mean, why'd you do that? But actually, my guess is that's the perfect vantage point for you to see so much of what was going on in the background of what runs a major hotel.
Oh, absolutely. And, a lot of it was learning, you know, and like
sure.
I said, it was just right when I started college, pretty much. I only had 1 year under my belt, but there's so much to take advantage of when you are an assistant, even if it's sometimes, yeah, you're going to have to make copies and that's tedious, but you're still learning something along the way. And you get to talk to so many different people that are higher in the organization and the employees that do work front desk, and you get to help them out. And it's just a learning experience, and you get to ask questions, and you're behind the scenes, and you get to understand and dive in really deeper into what you want to do. And that's actually, I was nervous my freshman year before. I had no idea what I wanted to do, obviously, not that I had to decide. I was
mm-hmm,
a freshman,
right.
But I didn't know if hospitality was for me, and I didn't know if I was fully utilizing my capabilities of knowledge, and instead of really going after what I'm passionate about. And that really, it really helped me a lot to figure out, you know, like, you're right, I'm not really working with the front desk, I'm not working with the people right now, but I'm learning a lot about it, and I'm really truly understanding that this is my passion area. And
well, I think the other piece of internships is I often coach people. I know from my own personal experience, I thought, absolutely, I wanted to go into computer-aided design. I got a summer internship after my freshman year to do that, and I mean, I had already laid out my mechanical engineering curriculum to kind of prepare for that kind of end trajectory, and after doing it for 3 months, I said, oh my gosh, I can't do this. This is not the right match for me. I came back to campus with this renewed vigor of saying, I know ME is still right for me. And oh, by the way, there was some serendipity that played out, and that was I loved the automobile business. It wasn't computer design within it, but at any rate, it kept reinforcing that, okay, we're still going to test and move out. Well, I know you've got a real exciting plan put together for this summer. So what's that all about? Share that with us.
Yes. After having 2 internships and knowing absolutely that the hospitality industry is right for me, I plan to broaden my horizons a little bit this summer, go off the beaten path, and study abroad. And I'm currently in the application process, almost done, actually. And
wahoo!
Need to get my passport since I don't have one. But I plan to go to Alicante, Spain, and it's southeast on the coast. And a lot of reason I kind of just picked Spain out of a hat, to be completely honest. I just want to go somewhere and leave the country and experience a whole new culture and just be on my own, be independent, experience something new, and really learn from those experiences. And my brother actually is very influential in that fact. He has been, he's actually graduating this May, but he's been in Paris at the American University in Paris since he was a freshman, so 4 years ago. And hopefully I will be traveling him and visiting him a little bit along the way. He actually just got recommended for the Fulbright scholarship.
Oh, my gosh, that's fabulous.
Yeah, I know. I actually just found out 2 days ago, so he's really excited about that. And that will probably lead him, hopefully, to Morocco. So hopefully I'll be able to travel with him for a little bit, get closer to him, experience some things as brother and sister.
And you know, because that is a big part of college, I think, is one of those big steps, particularly if you're one of the older siblings, is, you know, you're leading the fleet, I call it, but you're also letting go of some of your lifelong friends. Yeah, you might have fought like cats and dogs, but I think the chance that the two of you are going to have to really get reconnected in a very different phase of your adult, blossoming adult life has got to be so exciting.
It is. It really is. And we've never been extremely close. It seems that we actually got a little bit closer when he did leave that freshman year. And I was still at home dealing with finishing up high school. But it will be a great opportunity for us. And we're adults now, and we've experienced so much more and have so much more that we can communicate about and just really learn together. And so I'm really looking forward to that aspect, in addition to just being in Europe and traveling and experiencing all that that has to offer.
That's great. That's really great. Well, I didn't want to lose the chance for you to make some other remarks about one of the not just old masters you've been so committed to, Amanda, but in the context of your sorority that you've been vice president of new member development. So this whole idea of legacy, explain what that's been all about for you on a personal level.
Well, Zeta Alpha, my sorority, really, as a freshman, going into it, I had no idea what to expect. And I, during the recruitment process, I met my big, Sarah Wagner, who that was actually on OMCC as well, with Dan's taking over. I instantly had a connection with her, and she really she's a mentor in my life, and she's played such a big role, and she aided me through that process. And thinking about my pledge class and the girls that were to come, and my little and that pledge class right below me, I just really wanted to make an impact, and I really wanted to share with the girls that it is what you make it, to be honest, and you can make it into such an amazing experience that will benefit you so much, not only in your education at Purdue, but even beyond. And so to take these 33 new members, most of them being freshmen, just experiencing the college, their first year of college, it's so scary, and I just wanted to guide them along the way. And I mean, not that I have an abundance of knowledge, only being 2 years older than them, but in addition to like college mentors and helping little children and just guiding them, I just wanted to guide these girls in a particular way that would hopefully be beneficial to their future.
That's fabulous. In fact, that's something I really want our listeners to appreciate, that Dan, Lauren, and Amanda, and you'll hear the same for Natalie and Steve, that's as much a part of this college experience as much as the academics and learning what needs to go in the grade transcript, ultimately, as part of how they have grown and continue to take full advantage of the years. Amanda, thanks a lot for being the solo here, and we're going to catch up with you then in the final half an hour again. Welcome back to Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. It's a real pleasure. I'm featuring today on the show 5 students from Purdue in their college career phase of their lives. We're sharing their thoughts and principles about helping them navigate their career, as well as wanting to touch base on some of the thoughts we typically share on this show about navigating change and thinking with a broader perspective about larger systems. So with that, another Boilermaker on the line, I welcome Natalie. How are you today, Natalie?
I'm doing great. It's very good to hear your voice.
That's great. Well, and to be all charged up with the good old fight song, right?
Oh, I know. It definitely got us singing again.
That's great. Well, let me introduce Natalie Chemikoff. She's also a junior studying management, having finished high school abroad in the Netherlands, where she had lived for 3 years. An American by birth, her family has moved so many times that she'll be the first to tell you that she thinks she rarely found home finally at Purdue. It's her comfortable place. She is well as active in her sorority on campus. Again, a coincidence, also Kappa Alpha Theta, the house in which I was affiliated with. And Natalie also enjoys traveling, skiing, Shakespeare, and photography. She hopes to pursue a master's degree in business someday to better affect and motivate employees in new positive ways. So Natalie, how is it you came to pick the school and the field of study that you're involved in to start with?
Actually, for me, it was kind of a roundabout way. I went through the application process, and I was one of those students that had absolutely no idea what they wanted to do with their lives. Like so many people applying to colleges. For me, I, as a small child, I had this entire notion of what exactly I was going to do with my life. I had it all planned out. I knew exactly where I wanted to go to school. I wanted to go to University of Michigan. I wanted to, you know, do my graduate degree. I wanted to, you know, do all these things with my life. And, you know, I started realizing it's definitely a process. I didn't get accepted to University of Michigan, and of course that was a big blow to my ego, you know, mm-hmm. being a high school student, and I'm thinking University of Michigan was, you know, the end all. But for me, I started looking and actually really looking at other schools, not looking based on, okay, well, what's the best school for, you know, what I decide to do with my major, which is business. I started looking at them at the actual campuses. And
kind of what Dan was saying before is you get your, you know, make sure your feet are on the ground.
Exactly. Because for me, I was like, I had this notion that I wanted to be a top 10 school for my major. That was like, you know, on my to-do list. It was in all my diaries, you know, what I wanted to do with my life. And you start realizing you really have to, as Dan says, like, the shoe's got to fit right. And for me, I started actually touring campuses. And, I mean, that was hard for me because I was living at the Netherlands at the time. But over summer, I came back and I toured a couple campuses and went to Purdue's campus. And, you know, I looked around at all these brick buildings and said, I don't know if I'm going to be able to figure out which one's which because they all look the same to me. But at the same time, I started looking more into the programs and the atmosphere. And I mean, when I was there, there were people playing frisbee out in 100-degree weather, and I just thought, this is amazing, you know? So that was kind of what I wanted to do. And with my major, personally, I was one of the students that I knew what I didn't want to do, but mm-hmm. I didn't know what I really wanted to do.
And that's almost sometimes just as important to know. It's how you can set your boundaries.
Well, I mean, you need to figure out your parameters of, you know, what could be the possibilities, you know? And, like, Dan, he changed his major and realized something wasn't right for him. But you have to kind of give it a shot and figure out, okay, well, I've eliminated this. Now let me look again and, you know, see if this is really right for me. So for me, I went, nope, no science for me. I'm not a science person. I knew that was off the list, and I knew math. That kind of wasn't my thing. And really what it came down to was I needed something to do with people. And I was like, you know, I don't really think psychology was the right fit for me. But I'm kind of getting into the more like kind of psychology in the workplace now.
Right. Right.
And, you know, that's kind of what, you know, part of business is and human resources. And, you know, as I've been continuing on in my college career, I've been realizing, you know, that's exactly the right fit for me. So, but it's a growing process. I'm coming into Purdue. I had no idea if that was right for me. I knew, you know, it's a place to start. And that's kind of what I think new, like, students coming into a school, that's exactly what you have to do is just give it a shot, see if it's right for you. And if it changes, you know, along the way, you know, look at Dan, he's doing great for himself. He's on OMCC now and loving exactly what he's doing with his life.
Yeah, that's right. Now, and I think just like Amanda, you've had a couple work experiences to complement around at the same time, right?
Exactly.
And tell us about that. You worked at a theme park, if I recall.
Actually, I did. I worked for 2 years at a theme park, and that was really interesting because it actually, it was a different take on people, but it really did kind of go with what I wanted to do with myself. And that was just kind of like increasing effectiveness. I know for me, like, you know, a huge deal was like dealing with customers. We really based a lot on what we did around the atmosphere. We right. were, I think for 10 years, the theme park I worked at, Holiday World, is the number one friendliest park in the country. So if you're in the Evansville, southern Indiana area, you can always stop by there. But, you know, it was just constant. You had to have a smile on your face. You had to always, you know, represent yourself properly. You always had to, you know, give your full respect to the customers. And, you know, I'd never had that kind of a job before where it really was so customer-based. And it was a very good experience for me because I learned a lot about myself, about what I wanted to do with my life. You know, maybe the theme park wasn't exactly, you know, the right fit for me, but at the same time, you know, improving effectiveness in business.
That goes everywhere.
You know, you have to try to find people that have the right fit in an organization for it to run the best and run effectively. And I feel like that's a very big job of, you know, human resources, trying to find that right fit. So, I mean,
well, I think the other part of human resources, of course, is to provide that infrastructure and mechanism for people to mentor one another and help others develop their career. So let me pop over to that question for you. You know, here you are as a junior, and there have been people that have influenced you throughout your life. Tell us about some of the role models or the mentors, you know, faculty, administrators, your parents, who've played that key grounding role as you've kind of been bouncing around trying to figure out your own path.
I know for me, you know, moving around so much, there have been opportunities right. here where I've known different people that probably would have gone on to be my mentors if I had lived there for more than, you know, a couple years and then had to jet off to somewhere else. But I know for me, a constant person that's been in my life has been my dad. You know, he was the one when I was in middle school, I came up with this entire business idea for my babysitting career, because that was, you know,
something
I want to do. I actually recently got into College Mentors for Kids because of Lauren and Amanda. They've told me so much about it, and I just found that out yesterday, so I wanted to share that with you. And I've always had a passion with children as well, so, you know, my babysitting career was a very big deal to me. And my dad later pointed out, you know, Natalie, you made this entire business infrastructure with babysitting. And, you know, even as a middle schooler, you had that mindset. And that's really what started the seed of me realizing, you know, that maybe that is my path. Maybe that's the right choice for me. And so my dad's always been very good at kind of driving me in a direction that I realize now is definitely the right one for me. So even when I couldn't see it myself, he's always been there to kind of do that for me.
But you know what? You actually, let me interrupt just real quick. You actually shown something pretty powerful. We talk about it on Circles of Change a lot, and that is how much our stories and the connections between them can be powerfully enlightening then on where we should go in the future. And the fact that you had your own babysitting business, and it wasn't just answering the phone, it sounds like you had an entire infrastructure around it, that yes, that is absolutely a sign of how you're going to excel and where you could go in the future. Kind of change the names and the faces, but it's all there. Good for you.
Exactly. I mean, I know for me, it's, you know, when you're in the moment, you're looking at these different things you've been doing with your life and stuff, you really can't see possibly the correlations until someone kind of, you know, has to say something to you for that to kind of realize, you know, oh, wait, these are all connected somehow, you know. It's just trying to see those lines that connect it all.
That's great. So, and other mentors or role models for you now?
I actually recently got into upper division for management over Christmas break.
Congratulations. So, wahoo, you're on your way.
So I know I actually just finished the waiting process that Lauren's going through right now. And let me say, you know, I definitely feel for Lauren. It's a difficult process. And so for me, coming in as a freshman, my mentor, I guess, was kind of my advisor. I had a class with her my first semester freshman year, and she's kind of been helping me look at, you know, what do I want to do with my life? And especially in a college setting, it can be really, really overwhelming. I know for me, I never lived in Indiana before. I hadn't been back in the States in 3 years living here. So she was kind of the first person that greeted me, that, you know, centered me again into, okay, this is what you need to do. This is the outline of how to get to, you know, from point A to point B, and this is, you know, what we're going to do. And actually, it was kind of a whirlwind this past Christmas break, because I actually got denied acceptance to Cranor School of Management. And that was kind of a difficult thing for me, because I really did think, you know, this is the path for me. I think I've realized exactly where I need to go. And so my advisor said, you know, I'm going to look at your file and we're going to figure out what you're going to do next. You know, this isn't the end of the world. We're going to figure this out. And she actually emailed me an hour later after that. And, you know, in this hour, I'm, you know, trying to figure out, okay, well, what do I want to do with my life? What are the backup plans that I wanted to think about before? And she emails me again and says, I just talked to the assistant dean of students, and telling her about your situation and kind of, you know, everything. And she said, and they have decided to change their decision, and you've now been accepted.
Oh, my gosh. So this is the idea of not just a role model and a mentor, but also a sponsor, someone who could intervene perhaps and bring additional information to help you through that process.
Exactly. And so that was, you know, a very, very big change on my part, because I just realized, you know, this is, oh my goodness, you know, all of a sudden path is opened again, and, you know, I'm on my way to it. But I really do think, you know, having those connections and networking with other people, like, that gets you so much farther in life, you know.
Because I think the other side of it, though, and certainly, you know, dealing with disappointment is part of life and part of careers. And good for you that, again, in this case, that dynamic played a different way. In fact, we often say here on this show that really a roadblock is a signpost to go to a different direction. So even if we have plan Bs, it doesn't mean that plan A won't at some point in time come back on the radar screen.
Exactly, because I know for me, when I was going into college and I got rejected from University of Michigan, I really thought it was kind of the end of the world for me. You know, at the time I thought, you know, it was a school, that was my path, that was the way to go, and I really truly believe that Purdue is the right place for me, and I've continued to think like that ever since I got here. And, you know, maybe University of Michigan is something I want to look at for graduate school.
Precisely, exactly. You know, maybe it wouldn't have been the right match anyways as a freshman, you know, an undergrad, but graduate school, a powerhouse of opportunity, particularly in the human resources field.
Exactly. So I really do think everything happens for a reason. And I know, you know, a lot of people that may be listening out there, they're thinking about, you know, what decisions they're going on with their lives. And, you know, especially, you know, those people that are looking at colleges and stuff, you will end up in the right school. You know, I truly 100% believe this, because I know I was, you know, very much against that when I was looking at University of Michigan about any other schools. But, you know, as Amanda has said previously, you know, your experience is what you make it, you know. As long as you can find a niche in your school and you can find kind of the organizations you want to be a part of. I mean, you hear how many organizations all of us are in. If you can just find those things that are going to keep you passionate during school, you are going to find that you have had an amazing experience at college.
And really made it what it wants to be. Well, well said. And I think thank you for that particularly level advice. For our listeners who joined us and have listened to the whole show, mind you, back to the opening remarks, why can't 20-somethings seem to get their act together? I hope you understand, folks, you're not hearing any of that from this group, and particularly the wise advice from Natalie, who's in her junior year, saying you will be at the right place and have trust and confidence that things have played for a reason. Well, terrific, Natalie. Stick with us. Of course, you're going to be back from our group discussion. Let me take a quick break, and we're going to bring up our senior who's about to graduate. So we'll be right back here on Circles of Change just following this commercial break on 104.1 The Truth, Tucson News Talk FM. Well, here we continue on our special show on Circles of Change, and our fifth and final student to solo before we have a group interchange is Steve Anderson. Steve, how are you this morning?
Doing very well. Good to hear from you.
That's great. Boy, you've had four individuals now defer to you as the senior statesman, so let me set you up. Steve is from Darien, Illinois, and is a senior coming in for a landing, or maybe I should say about to take flight, from Purdue this May. He's a student in landscape horticulture and design with a minor in food and agribusiness. Steve has been active in Purdue's new student orientation program and his fraternity Pi Kappa Alpha. Food in general is his biggest hobby, he would admit, and he's a known master of barbecuing and hanging around the pool with friends. So, Steve, only a few months to go. What's it feel like right now?
Well, you know, I was feeling fine until I came to this radio broadcast.
And over the pressure's on you, right?
Opinions here are making me nervous. I got to start stressing out here.
Well, but
really, it's been a blast, and 4 years flies by. I have a younger brother who's looking at colleges right now.
Yeah.
And, yeah, just looking back. But at the same time, looking forward and anxiously awaiting what's around the corner.
So this final semester, do you kind of feel like you have one foot in and one foot out of college?
Certainly. The past semester, first semester, last fall and all that, it didn't really hit me yet. It kind of was just in a moment, occupied with some of the things with Boiler Gold Rush, like you mentioned, the orientation program, and Old Masters, of course. Mm-hmm. But coming back from Christmas break and here we are, second semester, 2 weeks in, and it's definitely hit me, and it's caused me some stress. You kind of worry about it and lose some sleep over it, but it's still important, and I always make it a priority to enjoy the time that I still have here. So,
you know, I remember my final semester, my senior year, and I was even starting, I even was taking a couple graduate classes at the same time. What was with that? But I remember as I would walk around campus saying, oh, you know, I've never played pool at the Union. I got to put that on my list. You know, so I had like these things I wanted to absolutely make sure I got accomplished that I hadn't allowed myself the luxury of doing perhaps during that first portion of my college career. So, you know, that's another thing to just reflect on, not just with stress, although it'll naturally come. I wanted to go in the direction that, you know, of course, there's a lot of buzz in every nook and cranny of the media, of concerns, of writings, the books that are selling, even radio shows, of course, about what careers are all about and the availability of jobs. You know, the conventional wisdom is talking about how tough it is to land a job right now, if not impossible. But, you know, here you sit and you've got a couple of offers, and every time I text you, I'm hearing about a new interview. So tell us about the process you've been in and, you know, the role of the things that have guided you through it.
It really has been a whirlwind, especially this last week, which I'll get to. But I had a career fair last fall, went in and talked with a bunch of companies, came out kind of with the idea that it was going to take a while for them to figure out what they needed in terms of personnel. You know, with landscaping businesses, it really slows down, especially here in the winter in Indiana, so they're not quite sure what they need. But coming here this past week, I heard from a company outside of Indianapolis and Fort Wayne here in Indiana. Got a call from them, set up a phone interview, and they were very optimistic about a possible opportunity, so I'm kind of running with that lead. And then just yesterday, I went to the Mid-Am Horticulture Show in Chicago, Illinois, at Navy Pier. And there's a big exhibition of all sorts of horticultural products, but at the same time, there's a student career fair. So I went and visited and, again, talked with a few companies, kind of put it all out there, brought resumes, the whole nine yards, and just heard back very optimistic replies. And, you know, it's really a thing of having to put your foot out there. I could sit back and cross my fingers and hope for the best, but I definitely won't get lucky, considering the market, like you said. But my goal, and especially my parents, have been pushing me to get out there and really leave no stone unturned.
Yep, and I think it's interesting, one, that you brought up the fact you went to a trade show, because I have often, since I graduated in 1979, told students that there's no better place to go for a couple reasons. If you're interested in my field, it was automotive. I said, if you're at all interested in automotive field, you absolutely should come to Detroit, Michigan for the Society of Automotive Engineers Convention. They have a huge exhibition that anybody who's anybody from a supply-based standpoint has got, you know, acres of booths to talk about their products. So it's very educational to start with, just to think about all the little bits and pieces that make up a big industry like the automotive. And I said, oh, by the way, typically the people that are manning those booths are the line supervisors that are always on point for talent. And not that connecting with HR professionals like Natalie in the future aren't important, but boy, to get face time with the people that at the end of the day really need to fill positions. And by the way, you walk in, you dress up as professionally as you possibly can afford at that time, and you've got your resumes. And even if they're not looking for people, at the time of connecting with bright, energetic, you know, the new field coming up, that there's a whole other area that opens up a possibility. So good for you. And the fact that now a lot of these specific trade conventions have specific college fairs is a really powerful combination, isn't it?
Certainly. It really sets the mood. And you know, like you said, you just got to go full force and get what you can out of it. Take advantage.
Now, we've talked already in the show, several of your peers have had internships in your field. Now, you did the same, didn't you?
Yeah, just like Amanda, it was my goal. And for me, actually, in my program, it's a graduation requirement. I have 140 hours of work experience. So it was my thinking that, you know, I can get that out of the way, but at the same time, build a base for my personal growth and career growth. So right out of freshman year, learned a great internship. It really set the tone and was a great introduction to the industry, and that kind of allowed me to do everything that I thought I could do in the landscape industry, and really taught me a whole lot more.
What did you do during that internship, Steve?
So I was kind of in that internship. That was more of a learning-based experience. Spent time with all sorts of different employees within the company, whether it was sales or project allocation and resource allocation, just working with the paperwork, working with customers, and getting a well-rounded picture of everything that was there at that company. So kind of and the whole theme for all my internships really has been a jack-of-all-trades. And if there's someone that's sick or someone needs extra help, I would almost be the first person they would turn to, and I'd really be sometimes thrown into the situation and really trial by fire.
Yeah, which is, when you only have 2 to 3 months with a company, what better blessing could there be to have kind of an unscripted job to then touch as many of those stones as you can?
Certainly.
And, you know, Steve, the fact you're major, we said, landscape, horticulture, and design with a minor in food and agribusiness. The fact that you've picked an institution that you can kind of wire in these additional points of emphasis, was that one of the things that attracted you to come to Purdue?
Yes, it was. My uncle graduated from Purdue in the same program, and he runs a very successful business in Indianapolis. And the program here and the knowledge of it that I gained from visiting really solidified and really drew me into the program. I've known since I was mowing lawns as a little kid, as the oldest brother, I have three younger brothers, that this is my passion and this is something I can run with. And then in going through the 4 years here in my program, whether it's the major and the minor, really have found a perfect program for what I hope to get out of my college experience, and it's prepared me wonderfully for the future that I have in the landscape industry.
Well, and how fun, you just told us the story, just like Natalie did, of running a babysitting business that's going to set her up for HR, and that you had your own lawn cutting service that's taking you in that direction as well.
Yes, my dad, like I said, oldest sibling. My dad is not a fan. You know, he says that he'll never buy a snowblower because he has four children that can do
that
all.
Can shovel snow. Isn't that exactly? I know my father. There's four of us who are engineers, and guess what? It's because we all learned how to fix things, re-roof the house, etc. in my family as well. We're at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take a quick news break and then come back for a full half an hour now, wrapping up with these five remarkable young people here on Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. We'll be right back. Chaotic, that is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, 877-544-2580. 544-2580.